Hey everyone, it's episode 75, question mark, of Longbox Heroes After Dark. You enjoy my little question mark thing that I say or do or whatever.
I use that a lot now. I may steal that a little bit.
That's fine. A great man once said, if someone bigger than you starts doing or saying or whatever something that you did, it's not yours anymore. Think of something new.
Ah, are you calling me fat?
No.
I'm just kidding.
There's been so many different people that have lamented, like, people in WWE stealing their move or their shirt idea or their this or their that or their other thing. And the same man who coined the phrase, you do you, partner, said, somebody on TV's doing it, it's not yours anymore. Think of something new.
It's kind of like what would happen when Johnny Cash would cover your song.
Yep, it's not yours anymore.
Trent Reznor?
Yeah. Hurt?
That's not your song no more.
And it's not.
It's not. Don't even start. I know you're a Nin fan.
No, listen. They can both exist in the same world, but if you told me I had to choose one, I would choose the Johnny Cash one.
See, now you're talking some sense.
But I think the Nine Inch Nails one can still exist. I'm just trying to think of some of the other ones. Like, I think because Rusty Cage isn't as iconic as a Soundgarden song, it's okay if that one's gone.
Right.
Like, if he had done Black Hole Sun or something like that, that might be a different story. Personal Jesus?
That's a good one.
That, now see, that is an interesting one because there's another cover of it out there that I think is a little bit, it depends, for me, the mood I'm in. So, but there is definitely an argument to be made that his cover of Hurt is possibly the greatest cover of all time.
It, you know what? It is one, it is. Okay, yes, that is the greatest cover of all time, and I'm trying to think of, like, now, some of the truly great covers, but
we could split hairs because, like, a lot of the early Beatles and Rolling Stones stuff was just stuff that they stole from, like, blues musicians.
Oh, Led Zeppelin was the worst.
Right, Led Zeppelin. So, again, we're splitting hairs in that regard, but this is, like, the Beatles and the Stones were just taking music that no one had ever heard before, doing it, and then, like, years later, people discovered, like, oh, that was not their song originally, but, like, a thing where, like, it was a known song, it was a public song, it was a hit, and then someone did a cover of it after the fact. I would say the Johnny Cash Hurt one is probably, if not the number one, definitely top three. I couldn't think of any others off the top of my head, you know, outside of personal preference.
And the video is what sells it, too. Like, that was, like, the end of, like, video. Like, that was, to me, and I know I'm a Johnny Cash guy, that's, like, the last memorable video that I've ever seen. And I, like, when he's shaking and cry, I'm like, oh, my God. And then he, you know, he passes on, you know, right around that time. So, like, that's the, that's, like, that made it even bigger. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and again, let me, hang on. I know you'd pointed out to me that typing on a podcast is a no-no, but you know what I say.
Oh, it's only yourself. A suggestion?
Go fuck yourself.
Wow.
Okay. So, the video... Okay, yeah, so that was way, way after. I didn't know the video came out that early, you know what I mean? Like, it says here 2002. Now, again, 2002, this is a different situation for you, and you're, you know... You're going to make some remark or whatever it is, because that's what you do. But when Eddie Guerrero died.
Right.
And the next, like, he died, like, on a Sunday morning, that next night on Raw, they did, like, the tribute video to him, to this version. Oh, my God. It crushed my life. Like, Eddie was legitimately one of my favorite wrestlers for the previous, like, 10 years. To that fact of him dying. And... it was just, like, one of those things, man, like, the beginning of all those wrestlers dying, he was at the cusp of it, and then that next night, You know, they play that video to that song and, like, all these pictures of him as a kid and his family intercut with the wrestling stuff. And, like, I was just, like, blubbering like a baby.
Mm-hmm. And around that time, like, when Johnny died, and I don't remember, like, if it was him first and then this, or if it was this first and then Johnny, but it was Warren Zevon and Johnny Cash in, like, a week. And I just crawled into a bottle. Mm-hmm. It was like, ugh. Music, like, died for me that week. I was like, that's just crazy. So, but yeah, like hurt. I'm trying to think, when did you say that video came out?
2002.
And then he died like a year later.
It was late 03, I think, or maybe even.
September 12th, he died.
Okay.
Like, oh man. There's somebody. I would have liked to have seen him in concert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids today with their Skyping and, you know, they have concerts in theaters now. You go to the... Did you ever see that?
No, what's like, this now?
Like the cinema up by the Super Secret Science Job will have, like, they'll stream concerts.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
what's
sure.
That? Like, we didn't have that bullshit when we were kids. You wanted to see a concert, you had to go.
That's right. We were, it's tough, you know. Obviously, my son, luckily, he's only aware of the music that exists for us.
Mm-hmm.
And
when he's not kicking in your bedroom door singing Cherry Bomb, right?
Well, that, yes, he is. But, you know, he doesn't care for the Beatles at all.
Wow.
And there's a lot of Beatles stuff, you know, played and sung and whatever in the house.
He's a monkey man, huh?
No, he's not. Oh, well.
Because, you know, they're better than the Beatles.
Well, we'll get to the monkeys here in a second. Well, that's just your guy with the hat. That's not even his real hat, by the way.
It's not.
But he's really, like, taking a shine to, like, he really likes Queen. He really likes, Bad to the Bone is his favorite song.
Is that going to be his entrance music?
Possibly. You know, and see, I think the thing is, the reason he knows a lot of these songs is because these are the songs that they play when the monster trucks come out.
Monster trucks.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they play when Gravedigger comes out, when Crustacean, the lobster monster truck, they play Rock Lobster for him.
I know that song. That was on Family Guy.
Right. So he sings Rock Lobster all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He, what else was he singing the other day? He was singing some Donna Summer song the other day, too.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, where is he? I'm always picking this up from April. But, like, the Beatles stuff he just won't gravitate to. And I think he's only 4. I don't think he'll kind of get Johnny Cash just yet.
But he will have a Johnny Cash phase.
I'm sure he will.
Everybody has one. When he gets a little older and I have a little talk with him, he'll get a Johnny Cash phase. I'll give him all those American albums. That's all you need. All
right.
Like his entire catalog is great, but those American albums, fantastic.
But no, so the Warren Zevon stuff too. But I think like Warren Zevon was one of those deals where like he knew, like it was kind of known that Warren Zevon was on his deathbed.
Oh, I know the story.
Okay.
He was told he has whatever disease. And they told
him... He had cancer.
Yeah, cancer. But, like, whatever it was. And I actually know he said he found out he had it when he was in Denver. And he was trying to sing. And he was like, boy, the air is, like, thin up here. And he went, like, you know, really knocking for a loop. He went to the doctors after that. And they told him. And they said, well, you have this certain kind of cancer. And it's like, you could do treatment for the next year. And you probably have, like, a 10% chance of surviving. And Warren said, fuck it. You know what I'll do with that year? I'll make another album. I'm not going to do the chemo. And he just gave up and he did his final album, which is fantastic. And the last song on it, Keep Me In Your Heart, is like, I'm that.
Yep.
This recording right here is my audio proof. I want that played at my, I want to crush everyone at my funeral. That gets played. That is one of the most heartbreaking songs I have ever heard in my entire life. Sorry, I went off there like a rocket.
Yes, it is. It's quite the song.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one of the ones that moved into my regular Warren Zevon rotation when I still listen to music on a regular basis. But
mm-hmm.
it's all podcasts now, Daddy.
What?
I said all podcasts now, Daddy.
I know somebody who says Daddy a lot.
Hi, Daddy.
I thought that was President Dusty Rhodes says Daddy a lot.
Is it Kelly Clarkson who says Daddy all the time?
No, I don't know. How would I know that?
I don't know. I don't know what you're up to, Todd.
Lots of sketchy stuff. Lots of sketchy stuff.
So speaking of sketchy stuff, I think you had a concern that you wanted to bring up. This is why all the music talk is here.
Lots of music talk lately, but I think this is going to end that over arc of After Darks is the AC/DC thing.
Yeah.
Is they've announced who the singer is for the remaining dates that they have left on their tour in America and abroad. And it's Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses.
I'm sorry.
And that was the rumor. That was the rumor. And I recently found out today that they had odds in Vegas on who the next singer was going to be for the tour. And Axl Rose was 2-1, and Dave Grohl was 5-1. So, and there was some guy in there from, I don't know, was that 3-1, but I don't care who he is because it's only Dave Grohl and Axl Rose. But they announced at Coachella this weekend that they, because I guess Guns N' Roses was playing there. And Axl's sitting on this big throne because he's got a broken foot or something.
Right.
And out comes Angus Young, and they play whole Lot of Rosie and Riff Raff, which I don't think they played Riff Raff live in a long, long time. But so they have – I've seen footage of Axl Rose doing it. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you chose two Bon Scott songs for the guy who sounds like Brian Johnson. I was like, there's your mistake right away. And it didn't sell me. I'm like, I love Axl Rose. Appetite for Destruction is one of the greatest rock and roll albums ever made.
Okay.
Hands down. Hands down. But I don't want to see him with AC/DC. I will take that money because Guns N' Roses is going on tour. And I'll give that money to Guns N' Roses. Maybe, and go see Guns N' Roses, but I don't think I can bring myself, even if they cut the ticket prices in half, to go see Axl Rose butcher AC/DC songs. I'd rather pay a lot of money and see Axl Rose butcher Guns N' Roses songs.
Gotcha.
So, I think the long national nightmare is over for me and AC/DC. Though I would buy an album if they make another one. That's regardless, but... What do you think? Do you think I'm making the right decision?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
I think you're doing the right thing. Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't fill me with hope that Axl Rose doing that.
And then on top of that...
Isn't he doing, from what I understand, the European tour first?
No. Well, maybe. Okay. I don't know when they're rescheduling the American dates. Yeah, so probably. And then he's a flake. Like, I can only imagine him, like, not showing up. Like,
right.
you know, those stories you always heard, he'd show up 2 hours late and do a 20-minute set. And I'm like, oh, Angus isn't going to have, like, you know, that's a business to him. AC/DC is a business. I don't know when it became a business, but it's a business. So he's not going to put up with it.
The same time wrestling became a business and comics became a business.
Oh, wrestling. When those mad magazines make fun of you, you know you're good to go.
That's right. And that was kind of late for them to be... That's not the first time that wrestling had been lampooned by Mad Magazine. I'm almost certain I had that as a child.
Oh, well, you're going to have it again, I think.
How did... Well, again, we can...
I don't know.
Many other ways.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is this?
I don't know. You tell me. And you don't think Appetite for Destruction is one of the greatest rock and roll albums of all time?
I would certainly say so, but I think a lot of Axl's shenanigans have kind of lessened the impact overall of Guns N' Roses as a group or supergroup or what have you.
True, and then like they only did one really good album, and then they decided to do Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, which like whittled down could have been one great album,
right?
And it's like, you know, like you never really did anything again after Appetite for Destruction. You were like, I get into arguments with people over this all the time. I'm like, to me, Guns N' Roses is really one and done. They did that Appetite, and then it was over. Yeah, they wrote it out with hits off Use Your Illusion and Terminator 2. They had You Could Be Mine, which was on Use Your Illusion 2, I think.
Is November Rain on Use Your Illusion?
One of them. I don't know which one, because I don't know the track listings anymore.
Okay, I think that's enough. Hang on.
That's enough to what?
That's enough to keep them... to say that's enough of a second album. The fact that November Rain is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Just November Rain enough, like, makes that a success to me.
And one of them has You Could Be Mine on it. To me, that's okay. The one that makes it, which is might be my favorite Guns N' Roses song.
Now, see, and again, it's not so much as a hipster answer, at least to me.
Uh-oh, it's going to be a hipster answer.
No. Because on Appetite for Destruction, excuse me, like that was one of those albums that I listened to from beginning to end all mm-hmm. the time. Like, I wouldn't, like, skip past certain songs or, like, listen to the hits and everything like that. Like, in my mind, as much as I listen to it, Welcome to the Jungle is as fresh and on the tip of my tongue as, like, Mr. Brownstone or Night Train.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, those weren't, like, the radio hits.
Right.
But they were awesome songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, like, I like Mr. Brownstone. I like Night Train. Like, those are the songs. And I really like You Could Be Mine. Like, that's probably not my favorite Guns N' Roses song, but it's definitely... I like that better than November Rain, but November Rain has, like, staying power. Like, that's one of those...
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, November Rain, is a great song. Let's not argue like that. But it's... To me, like, there are so much with Guns N' Roses that come before November Rain. Like, most of Appetite for Destruction comes... before November Rain, and You Could Be Mine, and I'm trying to think of what else is on you, because there's not much that stands out to me afterwards on you, which I probably slap myself for this on Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 other than those two songs. Civil War, but that's a cover. So that's a cover, right? Civil War?
No.
Or did they write that? No, I'm thinking of, what's the one, did they do a Dylan cover? I'm thinking it's Civil War, but it's not Civil War. Either way, I'm not going to go off on a tangent here. But one of these days we'll have to do, like, perfect albums. Like you talked about, there's no tracks that you skip over.
Right.
Like these are like from 1 to 12. Like remember when an album had like could only have like 12 songs?
Correct.
Or 13 songs, unless you were like 1 minute songs, but yeah. And you were like, oh my god, this album is amazing from like beginning to end. Good stuff.
That doesn't exist anymore.
What, because the way music is put out, or nobody can put out an album that's good from beginning to end?
All of the above.
What?
Yes.
I don't know. There's always good music being made. It's just you gotta find it. Because I'll guarantee, I've had this argument with a ton of people, that there was just as much good being put out in any era as there... Like, if 10% of the music is good, it's 10% good in any era, and 90% is junk. And granted, like, people will say, oh, like, well, the 80s was... I was like, no, there was good music in the 80s. But it was 10%, and maybe it didn't get played as much. But there was... There's 10% good music every year. I don't know if I got those statistics out enough. I didn't say it like 30 times, but 10%.
Oh boy.
Or if it's not 10%, it's whatever percent, but it's the same every era. Go ahead.
Right, right. Hmm. That I don't know. Because I think there's, like, more recent eras. And again, I get what you're saying, 10%. Mm-hmm. Like, you're talking, like, an average overall, I guess. Yes?
Right. Of everything made, like, and that the 10% might be high, but, like, 1996,
mm-hmm.
there was a certain amount of good music. Whether it was the radio hits or not, it was there. You know what I mean? And now they're just like, I don't know if you know this, with microphones and computers, any asshole can have a podcast or make an album.
That's true.
So there's more out there, but I think once again, there's so much more that it's still the same ratio. That there's always so much talent going around with plus or minus 1% occasionally.
Right. Hmm.
You don't think so?
See, I get where you're coming from. I do. Mm-hmm. I think it's lower, though.
That's fine. I'm just, like, I'm trying to use a number.
Yeah.
But, all right, maybe it's 5%. And maybe it's, if you think it's even lower than that. And I think it's the same in any entertainment. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a matter of where. Like,
right.
Comics, you know, TV, music, movies. It's just whether or not you're seeing the good.
Now, I'll say this.
Except for wrestling. Wrestling's all bad.
Oh, boy. I think the argument can be made that TV was probably worse in the 80s. Like, that 10% number was probably closer to, like, 3.
Okay.
I think TV now is better than it's ever been.
I think TV's better than movies sometimes.
Right. And I think movies, probably, like, if you look at the 70s, just based on the sheer output, I think, like, movies were probably, like, 25 to 30%. And then, like, I could even argue that, like, music in the 70s was probably, like, 30 to 40%. But we could do this all night, Todd.
We could do this all night. But I'm right, you're wrong. That's kind of the way I play the game in my head.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that closes up this show, unless there was anything else you needed to get out of your head about the announcement of Axl Rose.
No, I think that was it, other than I don't think I need to see them. And I think everybody who listens within the 99%, because I'm a percentage guy. I'm a big percentage guy, will agree with me. 99% will agree.
All right.
Is the name of the episode I'm a big percentage guy?
No, I don't do the title.
Oh, that's right.
Brian does these.
You let Brian Studebaker take care of it.
Oh, boy. All right. So, yeah, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, soon-to-be-named-network.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Episode 75, Longbox Heroes. Catch you next week.